Hello, and welcome to Simple Man Sermons, the preachings of a simple man called by God to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us ecclesia today, that is in biblical terms, come together. Let us come together and ponder a small portion of the wonder and glory and majesty of the God that we serve, and of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is many things to me, and hopefully they're the same to you. My King, my Savior, my example, my Lord and my God. All the good sermons in the world are not enough to capture the glory and majesty and wonder that is in Jesus Christ. But let us think a little bit on today, some verses. He was in all ways tempted as we are. He was in all ways tempted as we are, yet without sin. One of the things that Jesus is for us is our high priest. The high priest had many duties, which are probably outside the scope of this today. But in keeping with this passage, and you'll find this, by the way, in the book of Hebrews. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize, but who can sympathize. He was tempted in all ways as we are, but didn't sin. That's the God that I serve. That's my Savior. A Savior who knows, a Savior who understands, who is in all ways tempted as we are. If we think about all that entails, we know from reading the scriptures that Jesus drank, but didn't sin in it. We know that if he's tempted in all ways as we are, he must have looked at his neighbor's things and not coveted anything that his neighbor had. We know from Jesus' own words when he says, whoever looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. He must have looked at beautiful women and seen beautiful women and enjoyed their beauty, for they are made in the image of God. And seen that beauty, and not lusted after them. A perfect man who lived without sin. But he was still tempted, and he still understands what we go through when we are tempted. We don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize, but one who can sympathize. One who knows what it is to be tempted. For we read early on in the scriptures that he was led by the Spirit, not by Satan. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. But he withstood that temptation. He told Satan, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He told Satan, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And he told Satan, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only shall you serve. Think about what a strong man Jesus was to fast for 40 days and then to withstand all the temptations of Satan. When you and I are likewise tempted, but often give in to such small and petty temptations, but not Jesus. He was in all ways tempted as we are, yet without sin. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. The very next verse. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Let us look at what we just read there, and you'll find again this starting out in Hebrews chapter 4 and going to chapter 5. And keep in mind, there were no chapters in the original scriptures. That was added very recently as far as the Bible is concerned. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly. And we know that we're supposed to go to God. We know that. We also know, because it's written in our hearts, God's law is very near us. For he says, I will write my law in their hearts. We know that we're not supposed to sin, and we do it anyway. And we know that we're supposed to go to God, and we don't. Satan comes in with his lies and his torments. Now, there may be more than this, but there, at least in my experience in this Christian journey, in this walk, there are two big reasons why we pull away from God when we do sin. One would be shame. We know that what we did was wrong. We know that God is perfect and sinless, and we are not. We know that we have wronged him. We are ashamed and we pull back from him. We want to keep the horrible things that we do, the wrong things that we do, we want to keep them from God. We don't want to go to him because Satan comes in with shame and guilt and condemnation. The very opposite of what we should do when we screw up. We should run to God. Let us look at how foolish we are when we pull back from God. Is it not written? Is it not written? Did we not just read to come boldly to the throne? When we feel that shame, that guilt, that condemnation. For it, is it not also written, all things are naked and open? Just before the verses we just read, in the same part of Hebrews. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who must give an account. All things are naked and open to God. Not even your thoughts, not even the intents of your heart. They are already known to God. So don't be fooled by Satan into thinking you're keeping something from God. He already knows. He already knows. And if you feel ashamed, he already knows that too. If you know that you screwed up, certainly God knows that you screwed up. Not only that, he knew that you were going to screw up before you screwed up. All things means all things, even your thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows. So you're not keeping anything from God. That's, if we just take a step back and look at that, it's so foolish. But we do it anyway. This reminds me of a thought that I often teach in shooting. Most of you probably don't know me in real life, but one of the primary things I do is teach people how to shoot. And a very common thing, especially with handguns, is they're holding a handgun in front of their face and they'll show them the proper way to stand, and then they shoot, and that handgun literally has a controlled explosion in front of their face. And it's unpleasant, and they want to get away from it. So they lean back and lean back and lean back to the point where they're off balance and look ridiculous. Now you explain to them that they're holding the gun in their hand, that no matter how far they lean back, they're the same distance away from the gun because they're holding it in their hands. Their arms don't get any longer because they lean back. And it takes you explaining that to them and them actually thinking about that and processing that, and it takes them overcoming that fear before they'll actually do it. Likewise in this, take a step back. Look at how ridiculous it is that you're trying to keep something from God. All things He knows all things, even the thoughts and intents of the heart. So you're not keeping anything from God when you step back from Him. He's everywhere. You can't step away from God. Where can you go to escape from God? He created all things. He is in all things. He is omnipresent and omnipotent and all-knowing. He knows. He is. And you can't keep anything from Him. So repent. That's what repentance means. If you look up the definition of repentance, it doesn't say anything about shame or guilt or condemnation, which I think we have a wrong view of what that word means a lot of times in what you might consider, you know, evangelical Christian culture or any other kind of wrong doctrine when it departs from the meanings of the Bible. Repentance means to change your mind, to change your mind, to turn away from your sin and turn to God. That is repentance. Metanoia in the Greek, repentance. Metanoia, change of mind. Meta, to change your mind. So change your mind about it. Stop running away from God in your sin and run to God. He's the only one that defeats sin. Jesus, your Savior, a high priest who is tempted in all ways as you are, yet without sin. He's the only one that can help you. Stop it giving into the lies and turning away from God. I don't even know what you're struggling with. Whatever sins are your favorite sins. I don't know that. I don't need to know that. I know who can save you from them. There's only one. There's only one way. There's only one answer. Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So don't go away from God. Even in the midst of your sin. It's wrong to sin. So go to the Savior. Go to Jesus Christ. He was in all ways tempted as you are. He can sympathize with you. He knows. Another big reason we might not go to God in our sins is hopelessness. A tragic thing for a Christian. Is it not written, without faith, it is impossible to please God? For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. These are God's own words. This is the Holy Bible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You must believe that God can save you. What does Jesus say so many times to the people that he heals? Your faith has made you well. So let your faith make you well. I don't know whatever you struggle with. I don't know whatever your sins are. I don't know whatever you have issues with. Again, I don't need to. I know that God is bigger. I know that God can save you from any sin, from anything. I know that he is a greater savior than you are a sinner. I know that he is stronger. Whatever you're struggling with, you haven't struggled striving against sin to the point of bloodshed yet, and Jesus did. Jesus literally struggled unto death, not just death, but death on a cross. He became sin who knew no sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's not about what you do, it's about what Jesus did. And what Jesus did is greater and more powerful than you could ever screw up. Again, Jesus is many things to me. He is my Savior. He is my King. He is my Lord and my God. And it is written, while I was yet without strength, in due time, Christ died. Do you know how that ends? While I was yet without strength, not about my strength, while I was yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for who? Do you know this verse? While I was yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. If you are turning away from God for whatever things you've done, he died for what? For the ungodly. Satan can tell you many lies, but he can't lie about this. If he comes to you and says you're ungodly, you say, yes, I am ungodly. I agree. Christ died for me. you take it up with him. One pivotal verse in this. While I was yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Another, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we were perfectly self-righteous and we thought we had all our stuff together. No, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it's a good thing he didn't wait, because we're sinners. We talked about hopelessness, thinking your situation is hopeless. It's not hopeless. It's never hopeless. Jesus says, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Whatever your problem is, I don't know. But I know that Jesus healed the eyes of the blind, opened the ears of the deaf. He made crippled men walk. He raised the dead. If you're listening to this, you're not dead yet. If Jesus can raise somebody from the dead, he can surely fix you and fix me. I hope that this is helping you grow in faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You'll find that likewise in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. You don't need me to sit here and preach at you and tell you that sin is wrong and destructive. You know that sin is wrong and destructive, because I believe God's word, and God says he writes his laws in our heart. If you read back in the Torah, back in the first five books of the Bible, he gives a law, and he says it's given for our good. Sin is never good. Sin is always bad. Don't give in to the lies of Satan. Sin is always bad and destructive, and you know that. I don't have to tell you that. Sin is wrong in and of itself. It is malum and say it is evil by nature. But it doesn't have to separate you from God, because we have a high priest who died for our sins. We were redeemed not with the blood of bulls and goats, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin, a perfect man who never sinned, who was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. When? We already covered it. While we were yet without strength, while we were still sinners, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Because God knows we're going to sin. That doesn't make it okay to sin, for it is written, should I continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. But you know that sin is wrong. You know that you have to escape sin. You don't escape sin by running further away from God. You escape sin by running to God and accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Accepting the saving power of Jesus Christ. Do you know, or do you remember the parable of the woman caught in adultery? He doesn't ask her about her sin. She knows she sinned. When he asks her, he doesn't say anything about her sin. He says, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. She was without strength at that moment. She was about to be killed, stoned to death by a multitude of men. A woman surrounded by a multitude of men with stones, about to beat her to death. Jesus saved her, and he said, go and sin no more. What if she had run away from Jesus? What would have happened to her then? But she was in the saving presence of Jesus Christ. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Likewise, you and I, don't run away from God when you screw up. Don't turn away from God. Turn to God. In the very midst of whatever you're ashamed of, whatever your filthiness is, whatever disgusting thing, in the midst of it, again, You're not keeping it from God. He already knows. He already knows your innermost thoughts, your desires, your thoughts and intents of the heart. All things are naked and open to God. You're not keeping anything from him. And you're not going to beat sin without Jesus. If we could beat sin without Jesus, then Jesus wouldn't have had to come and die on the cross. He came precisely because we need a Savior. I don't know who you are. I don't know when you're going to listen to this. It doesn't matter. I know a few truths by God's grace that he's revealed to me. One is that you need saving, that you are a sinner and I'm a sinner. Two, that we can't save ourselves, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I know that without faith it is impossible to please God. I know that he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I know that while I was yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I know that he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So let us turn to our Savior. Did he not cry out on the cross, "It is finished, the work is already done"? It's the difference between the true faith of Christianity and all other religions in the world. Almost every other religion teaches, be a good person to be righteous, be a good person to be holy, be a good person to get to heaven, but not us. We speak real truth of better things. We are saved by the precious blood of Christ. We are called. We are holy. We are righteous. We are cleansed because we were made so by Jesus Christ. It is finished. Now go. Now go and sin no more. Go to God with whatever it is. Whether you are rejoicing, whether you are struggling, in all times and in all things, it's always the right answer to go to God. There's never a wrong time to seek God and to go to God. For it is written, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, doesn't differentiate good thoughts and bad thoughts, sinful thoughts, worship thoughts. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When Satan comes to you and says, ha, you disobeyed, you say, yes, I did. But bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Say, I have a mediator, a high priest, seated at the right hand of God who makes intercession for me. I may have disobeyed, but he obeyed. He obeyed every command. He suffered to the point of death that I might be redeemed. He became sin who knew no sin, that I might become the righteousness of God in him. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When Satan says you can't do it, you're too weak, you're ungodly, or a sinner, you say, yes, I am. And remember the verse, while I was yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And then the burden is no longer on you, because Jesus already cried out, it is finished, it is already done. His blood was already slain. He has already become the sacrificial lamb. He already gave himself to cleanse you from your sin. How could you not run to a Savior like that? Who, while we were still sinners, he died for us. Not for the ungodly, not because we deserved it. He died for us. We didn't deserve it. How could you not want to be near and worship a Savior like that? How could you not want him to be your King and your Lord and your Savior and your God and so much more? I will conclude by God's grace on this final thought. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and powers. Again, you are complete in him, If you are complete in Christ, you must then deduce that without Christ, you are incomplete. Do you ever feel incomplete? Do you ever feel lost? Do you ever feel like something is missing? You must be in Christ to be complete. Now, I didn't grow up a Christian. I searched, and I always felt in this world that there was something missing. There was something in my life, no matter how much money I got, or pretty girls, or a nice car, or whatever. Power, respect, it didn't matter. It always felt like something was missing because something was missing. The one who made me, the one who formed me, the one who knows my innermost thoughts, I am complete in him. Without him, I could never be complete. Without him, you cannot be complete. I know that because he says so. So let us be complete in him. You are complete in him. Whatever, whether in praise and joy and sorrow and shame, in disgust, in despair, there's only one way to be complete. You are complete in him. So in any and all circumstances, let us go to God. Let us repent. Let us turn away from sin. Let us turn to God. Let us run to God. His arms are open wide. You are complete in him. Amen.